Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12. We're looking at just a few verses this morning as we continue to walk through this Gospel. We're going to look at verses 33 through 37 of chapter 12. Encourage you to follow along with me as I read aloud. You'll find that in your Pew Bible on page 817. Matthew chapter 12, looking at verses 33 through 37. Here now, this is God's holy, authoritative, an inspired word. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Thus ends the reading of God's word. May He bless it unto us. If you're someone wants to take some notes, you'll find in your bulletin, at least I think I saw that, there's a place to put your to write some notes down. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we study this passage together, and it may help us as we try to better understand what Jesus is saying and how it applies to us today. But before we enter our study, let's go to our Lord and let's ask for His blessings upon us. Pray. Let us pray. Help us, Lord, to understand, not only understand these words of truth, to not only know these in our heads, but Lord, may these words transform our very heart, that you would work in our lives by your grace, that we would show forth fruit as well, that we'd show fruit in all that we are, all that we do, and all that we say and all that we think. Oh Lord, work in us, we pray, during this time. In Jesus' name, and let us say together, amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, you can learn a lot about someone by the way they talk. You know for a fact there's been a few times where I have exercised my Midwestern roots. Notice I said roots. From the pulpit. And you can learn a lot. You can tell who are from the South. You can tell who is from New England. And if you've ever met anyone from Texas, they have a certain unique aspect to their language as well. You can learn a lot about someone by the way they speak. You can listen to someone who's not even speaking English, and you might be able to pick up words and say, that person's speaking Spanish, that person's speaking German. There's much you can learn. Interestingly, when we talk about from a Christian perspective, there's a lot we can learn by the way we speak. Jesus refers to that here in this passage. It is challenging us to consider, what does our language say about us? Now, some of these words that we've read this morning here is somewhat frightening. Somewhat frightening when we think about taking an inventory of the words we've said, of what our language says about us. Now, this is not one of these interactive, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if, but I'm pretty confident that if I were to say to you, if I were to ask you how many of us have ever uttered a word that we regretted as soon as we said it, I would guess that most of us, if not all of us, would raise our hands. I would guess that if we would have said, how many of us have said something that has come back to hurt us deeply, I'm sure we would all raise our hand. If I asked how many of us have uttered a word in anger that we knew as soon as we said it, we looked at the person we were talking to, and we knew right away from their facial expression, we knew that we hurt them deeply, I'm guessing we'd all raise our hand. Our language can tell a lot about who we are. Our words speak loudly. You are well familiar with the with the little nursery rhyme that we all learned. Sticks and stones would break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right? Whoever wrote that obviously was mute, because they should know that words hurt. Words can give a false testimony. Words can cut deep. We can get in trouble with our words. We sin with our words. Words tell a lot about who we are. And in this passage, Jesus wants the Pharisees to know this. We recall Jesus here has healed a demon-oppressed man. The Pharisees have said, well, obviously, you know, he must have cast them out, he must be evil himself. He must have been done it by the power of Beelzebub. You remember, Jesus is saying, well, how can this be? Isn't it the first time the Pharisees will say something that they should regret? And it won't be the last time the Pharisees will say something that they should regret. But there, in their words, they've gotten to the point where they realize they can't stop Jesus' ministry, so instead, let's undercut it, let's slander him, let's get the crowds to start second-guessing Jesus. And that's what they begin doing already here in chapter 12. And Jesus confronts them about their slander, their false accusations, and as we ended last week, we talked about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus accuses them that their hearts truly are opposed to Christ. They truly are darkened to the truth. Jesus wants the Pharisees to consider their harsh words, and Jesus wants us to consider our own. So today, one of the things we're going to do, and this is going to be a frightening experience for all of us likely, is to consider today our own words. I don't see anyone running for the doors, so we're all willing to do that. Consider our own words. Because Jesus here teaches a very important lesson. And that is that our thoughts and our attitudes, our words, and as a result of all these things, our actions manifest to the world who we really are. And so today, and especially in light of going to the Lord's table next week, as we think about our own self-examination, as we think about preparing ourselves for the Lord's table, this is a good time, if not any, for us to consider doing a self-examination of our own words. So it moves us to repentance and to trust in Christ. So this morning I want to give us four things about our words. The title of our sermon is By Our Words. So four things that we learned from this passage about our words. And the first point is this, that our words reveals our true character. Reveals our true character. Verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Jesus here is stating these words to the Pharisees. Jesus is demonstrating his own character, the character of God himself, who God really is in his words, in his ministry, in his speech, in his actions. And so Jesus here challenges the Pharisees' logic. You've got to follow that logical the progression, that idea of, well, he must be casting demons out by the power of Beelzebub, and then a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If I'm casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, what about your people that you claim can cast out demons? What power are they using? Why are you slandering the Holy Spirit? So the logic then proceeds, or the progression goes on. And Jesus here challenges their logic, saying that, you know what? If I'm doing good things as an evil man, if I'm casting out demons, which is good, by the power of Satan is evil, Jesus says, look, either his deeds, Jesus himself and his deeds are both good, or they're both evil. One can't come from the other. Jesus can't be doing all these things in the name of God and yet on the same token be evil. Wickedness and obedience cannot coexist. You can't have darkness and light at the same time. And so Jesus challenges their logic and says, you have to either approve Jesus and his works as being who he truly is, or you need to condemn both Jesus and his works as being evil. And you need to choose. You can't have one without the other. And so Jesus then gives a bit of a proverb here, talking about trees. A tree is known by its fruit. We go to an apple orchard, we can look around and we say, hey, there's apples on the tree, it's probably an apple tree. We're not going to say, I think it's a potato tree. And it doesn't work that way. Obviously, potatoes, because they don't grow on trees. But the point of it is you know the tree by its fruit. And Jesus is saying, look, you're going to know who a person is by what that person produces. You will know what their heart is by what it produces. And where do we see that product? We see it in our actions. We see it in our thoughts. We see it in our speech. Jesus, look at what Jesus has produced before these Pharisees, preaching and teaching. He's proclaimed the gospel. He's done miracles. He's told parables. These aren't done superficially. Jesus here, as we have alluded to, time and time again, Jesus uses these to prove who he truly is, that he is truly the Son of God. He's truly the Messiah. And when he does these things, it shows us Jesus' very heart. That is, we read about how he's compassionate, how we read how he is humble, how he cares, how he's considerate. His deeds are consistent with who he is. And this is where the self-examination comes, because do our deeds consistent with who we are? What does your actions and what does your words reveal about your heart? Because they're going to reveal our real character, our true character. They're going to reveal who we are. It's going to reveal what we care about. It's going to reveal about what makes us tick. And Jesus rebukes these Pharisees and says, stop acting piously, and yet you speak so wickedly towards him. And in the same way, we can look at our own lives and we can say, we can act the part, we can walk the part, we can act piously, we can speak all the right words to say, but what about our hearts? What does it produce? Is it transformed by God's grace? Does it reflect a relationship with Christ? Or is it simply putting on a facade? Or is it simply being an actor? A hypocrite, as the Greek word would be later translated. What does it reflect about our relationship with Christ? Because I hope that the way that we speak and the way that we act and the way that we think, I would hope that it would demonstrate that we're redeemed by God, reflect that we desire to be so esteemed by the world. And this involves not just our public lives, but it's what we do in private as well. There are many times and many places that we wouldn't want others to see us or to hear us or to know what we're thinking. We don't want people to know what we are truly thinking when we're wronged by a loved one. We don't want people to hear about the words that we utter when we're angry at our spouse. We don't want people to know what we're really thinking when we're complaining about a boss. Or we would really not want anyone to hear us what we're like when we're stuck in traffic. Or when we're frustrated with the kids. Or we're struggling in our understanding why the church does what it does. What does your heart reveal about your relationship with Christ? It's going to reveal your true character. And that's going to come out and as we talk, as we speak, as we act. It's going to come out in how we think. And so today is a self-examination. What does our heart say about our relationship with Christ? What does it reveal about our true character? Let's go on. We could stop there and we could be and say that this is way too much self-examination. But there's more. there's more we need to consider. Our second point is this, is that our words can deceive not just others, but us too. Our words can deceive not just others, but us as well. Verse 34, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus is saying, look, you can be religious, you can be pious, you can be a churchgoer, you can even be a church leader, but you can deceive yourselves as well as others. Jesus says, remember, Jesus talked to the Pharisees. If there's anyone who wanted to look good before others, it would be them. But yet, their slanderous words, their blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, their opposition to Jesus is being revealed. Their own hearts are being revealed by what they say. And notice what Jesus' verdict on their self-deception? He calls them, you brood of vipers. I am by no means a snake person. I will never pretend to be a snake person. But there are some of us here today who love snakes, who look at them as being very harmless. And there are a lot of people who looked at the Pharisees as being very harmless. They weren't doing the bad, they're just doing what they were supposed to do. Jesus calls them on the carpet and says, you brood of vipers, your poisonous tongue, you're venomous. Jesus is saying, look, you have a heart problem. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you don't know God. You don't know His grace. You don't know His salvation. The Pharisees, they show it in the way, they show it in the way that they speak about God, about God's own Son. The Pharisees show it by, they work so hard in these areas of lives to look good, but their slander shows who they really are. And they're deceiving themselves. We do that too. We work so hard to look good on the outside, to look the part, to dress the part, to be the part. But ultimately, if we have not been transformed by the grace of God in Christ Jesus on the inside, there are going to be eventually that there in areas of our lives, the truth is going to come out. And we won't be able to mask it anymore. And it will be shown in the way that we talk to others. It will be shown in the way, in the things that we do. It's going to be shown in the ways that we think. The Pharisees, Jesus is saying, look, you're corrupt in your hearts, and that's going to affect their thinking and their wills, their feelings, their actions, and their words. And it affects us too. We may not be able to look at somebody and say, well, that person's obviously a totally depraved and is lost. We don't look at someone and go, yeah, their heart, right? I can tell just by looking at this person or this person, their heart, they're lost. But how do we know? Well, we know it because of the fruit they bear. And so one of the ways that we notice this for the Pharisees is their blasphemy, their slander, their malicious talk, those, as Matthew Henry writes, those vile and destructive use of quote unquote tongue sins reveals the true nature. And Jesus specifically talks about speaking here, because speech reflects the state of our hearts. Wicked words are the products of sin reigning in us. And Christ gives us a key by which we can test our own hearts. Because we can be so easily self-deceived by our own religious piety. We can be so self-deceived by our involvement at church. But Jesus is saying we need to acknowledge what our hearts truly are. Christ doesn't want us to be self-deceived. Christ even goes on and says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As the heart overflows into our speech. And the Proverbs, there's many Proverbs that talk about the importance of speech, the importance of words. So today, as we self-examine our own hearts in the light of Christ Jesus, I ask you this question. What do our words say about us? What do your words say about who you are? We can't take them back. Words do hurt. Words testify to who we really are. And if we're slanderous, if we're blasphemous, then it reveals a lack of love for God and a lack of love for His words. And that's what the Pharisees are doing here, is they're lacking that love. They're being self-deceived. They're not just deceiving others, but they're deceiving their own hearts by not looking at it in a very real and true sense. Jesus wants us to look at our own hearts too. And to consider the overflow of our hearts. What does it say? What does it say? And that leads to a third point, and we've kind of touched on this already a bit. Thirdly, we find out that our words in verse 35, our words reveals who we really are. Who we really are. Verse 35, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. We are what we do. We are what we think. We are what we say. Sometimes we use that as an excuse. We say we allow these sins of our lips, and we allow the sins of our deeds, and we just simply say, well, sorry, this is who I am. Yeah, I do lash out in unrighteous anger, and I'm good with it. This is just who I am. That's my nature. Jesus wants us to evaluate who we really are. And he uses an interesting term. He talks about the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. If you think about our hearts as being sort of a storehouse, a warehouse, a reservoir and what we bring out of it depends on what's in it. We talked about trees that bear fruit. If anybody here has a money tree, let us know, because that's what we want. We would love a money tree, but we're not going to go in our backyard and find a money tree. We might have an apple tree, we might have a pear tree, but we're not going to find a money tree. Because we're not going to get it. We're not going to go to the apple tree and find a pear. We're not going to go find the pear tree and find an apple. It just doesn't work that way. What we get out of the tree depends on what kind of tree it is, what's in it. I would love to open my wallet right now and give you all $100, but I don't have $100 in my wallet because there's no money in it. You can't take out of the storehouse anything unless it's actually originally in the storehouse. And so when we bring forth goodness from our hearts, it's a sign that God's grace is at work. When we bring forth evil, what we're realizing is we're lacking the Holy Spirit working in our lives, or we're contradicting exactly what God intended us to be. So when we're showing grace, when we find comfort in Him, when we experience the good things of God, when we have our knowledge set upon Him, when we are truly loving Him, when we resolve, when we desire to live for Him, those are things that come from, those are the good that comes from within our hearts. It's a sign the Holy Spirit's working. But when we're tearing down people with words, when we're destroying people with our actions, when we're uttering slander, when we're making flippant statements about God, when we're thinking ill thoughts, we're demonstrating what's truly in the storehouse. We're demonstrating what's truly going on. And so in the self-examination, we need to ask ourselves, do we long to be right with God, or are we sinfully content with who we are? Are we simply content to simply making excuses? I can't help it. I can't control it. James 3, talking about controlling the tongue. This is who I am. Let me read you another quote from Matthew Henry. Unless the heart be transformed, the life will never be thoroughly reformed. If our hearts are not changed by the Holy Spirit, we're never going to get a handle on our outward behavior. We're never going to get a handle on our frivolous words. We're never going to get a handle on the wrong reasons why we do things. We're going to be more concerned about looking good before others. We're going to want to just simply work upon the outward side. But a heart that's transformed is going to want the fellowship with God. It's going to want to express that true love to one another in word and in deed. And transformation is only going to come when we trust in Christ, when we believe in Him as Lord and Savior, when His grace transforms us, when the power of the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, we start bearing not the fruit of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. As one commentator said, a sanctified tongue is a mark of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That's so important for us to hear, because our tongues can be so vicious. What we say about our classmates. What we say about our parents. What we say about our children. Our friends, our neighbors, even our fellow church members. All these things reflect what our hearts, who we really are. So we need to consider our words. Maybe even the ones that we don't necessarily say, but the words that we think. Not just the words that we actually say to a person in their face, but the words that we say behind their back. We need to consider the words that we might be very vocal about, but also the ones that we should be very careful. We bite our lip because we don't want to say it. That leads to one last point regarding our words. Our fourth and final point is this, that our words will be judged in the end. Fourth thing we learned about our words, they'll be judged in the end. Verse 36 and 37, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I could just stop right here and re-ask those questions at the very beginning. Have you ever said a word that you regret? Or if I said a word that you really wish you wouldn't have said, a word that embarrassed you, embarrassed somebody else. Our words, Jesus says, is either going to condemn or acquit us. Because you see, our words is going to manifest what our hearts are really like. Are they prone to wickedness, or are they prone to following Christ and trusting in Him? So as we leave here, we must recognize we are responsible for our words. We are responsible for our actions. We are responsible for our thoughts, for our feelings, for what we say, for what we do, for who we are, for how we think. Jesus reminds us we have to give an account. Every careless and thoughtless word, every empty and foolish talk, every joke and poor taste we've told, we'll have to answer to. And so therefore, today, beginning today, this is why we must pay such careful attention to our words, because God takes note of every word we say. That our speech will be evidence either for or against us in that day. That there is nothing, and brothers and sisters, there is nothing like the tongue to remind us that we're not perfect. There's nothing more convicting to realize that our words is a great reminder for us of how much we need God's grace. That our speech reminds us that there is no effort, that we can be as silent as we want to be. We can make every resolution to change. There is nothing that we can do on our own that will keep us from condemnation. That our words is enough for us to realize that we are all guilty before a holy God. And we can't save ourselves and we can't change ourselves. Our words show us how much we need God's grace, and that God's grace in the person and work of Christ. See, with those same tongues that we might slander and blaspheme, those same tongues we praise God. James says, oh, that shouldn't happen. We should be one or the other. But with our tongues, we confess our sins. With our tongue, with our speech, we verbalize on as we sing and as we pray, and we verbalize how much we need Christ. We verbalize that faith in Him. and to know that it's only by His grace as it strengthens us that our speech changes. That it is used not to destroy others, but to reflect a transformed heart. That our speech doesn't simply curse, but praise. It's only through Christ. You see, because by our words we'll be justified. It's not necessarily the words that we speak on our own, but it's the words that we speak because we know who Christ Jesus is. That will be justified because that will show, it will bear fruit. It will show us who we really are. For the Pharisees, for those who do not know Christ, those words will condemn. And so we need a righteousness that's much better than our very best. And that's why we need Christ. So this morning, let me conclude and ask you about, what does your language say? I'm not talking about your accent. I'm not talking about your dialect. I'm not talking about the quirky words you use, the nuances. What I'm talking about is, what does your language really say about who you are in Christ? What does your deeds say about who you are in Christ? What does your thoughts say about who you are in Christ? This is not a works righteousness. This is not something that we say, well, look, we just change it and we're good. This is where we fall back and we look to Christ and say, Lord, I need you to transform me. Transform my heart so that my words are transformed, my thoughts are transformed, so that my speech is transformed, my actions are transformed. So that these things will reveal who I really am. That I really do believe in Christ. That my faith is really genuine. That my faith is not fake. To know that He can change our lives in such a way that even the thing that fears us the most, the use of our words, can be transformed. So it doesn't start a fire. It doesn't steer the ship. But it's used to praise God. May we consider these things. May we self-examine these things. May we bear fruit that indeed demonstrates a faith in Christ, a loyalty to our God, our Creator, our Redeemer. It would be evidence that indeed the Spirit transforms us day by day. May He indeed convict us of these truths. May He bless these words unto us. Let's pray. Lord, out of the heart comes many things, Jesus said. And Lord, as we reflect upon this passage, we recognize that this as well. That out of our hearts can come words and thoughts and actions and motives and feelings. Lord, we pray that You would convict us in such a way that the outpouring of our hearts would indeed reveal our true faith in You. And Lord, when we fail, may we continually go to You and plead for Your forgiveness. Transform our hearts and reform our lives. Oh Lord, we thank You for Christ. We thank You that it is that His death and resurrection has saved us. May we confess this with our mouths and believe it in our hearts. Write these words upon our hearts and our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us say together, Amen.